Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 16th of January, Anno Domini 2016, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. We do want to say, Steve Ray, one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest. Michael Oden doing yeoman service here, keeping him.
I'm here. Dave is gone.
What?
I'm here. Dave is gone.
What did I say?
Me.
Did I?
Yeah.
Apparently, Steve Ray is here, ladies and gentlemen. Who knew? Who the heck knew? It was Dave Enright who's gone. Yeah. All right, you've heard of Christmas in July. Well, how about spring cleaning in January? Microsoft is kicking off 2016 with arguably its most significant patch Tuesday in months. As of this past Tuesday, Microsoft bade goodbye to all but one version of Internet Explorer and a Windows release it would rather forget. The biggest item on the chopping block is Windows 8, not Windows 8.1. That sweeping update is still supported, but the original non-start button version of Windows 8. After Tuesday's updates, Microsoft will cease support for the 3-year, 2-month, and 17-day-old operating system. That means Windows 8 is going the way of Windows XP. No more security updates, no more bug fixes, no more nothing. Users still on Windows 8 will have to upgrade to Windows 8.1 or make the jump to Windows 10. Both are free upgrades for Windows 8 users at this time. That may be problematic for some if you have an oddball PC that is no longer supported by a manufacturer and thus missing drivers for a smooth experience. Other than that small minority of users, everyone else should dump Windows 8 as soon as possible. If you're going from Windows 8 to Windows 8.1, remember that the upgrade happens via the Windows Store and not Windows Update. So the story behind the story, Windows 8 was supposed to be a revolutionary OS that had two different interfaces built to run on both PCs and tablets. The idea was inherently flawed and ultimately failed. Microsoft tried to improve the situation by adding features PC users wanted to Windows 8.1, but really, it really wasn't until Windows 10 that Microsoft's vision of a single OS running everywhere came to satisfying fruition. Windows 8 is going to have some company in the dustbin of history. Microsoft plans to discontinue all support for Internet Explorer 8, 9, and 10. This issue only affects Windows 7 users who haven't upgraded to IE 11 and Windows 8 users who must upgrade to Windows 8.1 or 10 to get the latest version of IE. Everyone else, Windows 8.1 and 10 users, already have IE 11 as it came built into their systems. In fact, Windows 10 users are barely affected since the built-in browser of choice for Microsoft's latest OS is the new Edge browser, or, of course, if you're smart, you switch to Chrome. Anyway, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is MS dumped Win8 and IE 8, 9, and 10. Your choices are About Time, Whatever Shall I Do Now, and I'm Completely Unaffected. We've got about 24 votes so far. Most of you are completely unaffected.
So they're dumping the support for Windows 8 before they dump the support for 7.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think that's the first time they've ever done that, right?
Windows 7 support has already ended, isn't it? That's gone into mainstream support has ended.
Mainstream support is that. This is all support. This is done.
Yeah.
Windows 7 still has extended support. So if you're a company that's paying for support, you will still get support for 7.
And can you install IE 11 on Windows 7?
No.
No. So switch to Chrome or Firefox, which we've been saying all along anyway.
Right, or you move to 8 or 10, 8.1 or 10, and that's how that's going to work. You really won't have another choice. Of course, we know you have more to say about this yourself, so check out the forum. Go down on the right, you'll see fascinating stuff. The top choice is the forums. The second forum down is poll discussion, and the currently first thing on that list is 16 Jan 16, MS dumps Windows 8 and IE 8, 9, and 10. There are two posts so far. We know you'll want to join us. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Just like our friend Carl did from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Carl. What's up?
Well, if you're talking to me, I'm from Pottstown.
Oh, it's Carl from Pottstown. Okay, yep. Excellent. First caller last week, first caller this week. What can we do for you, my friend?
I have a problem with a graphics card. I bought my computer about 2.5 years ago. It's running Windows 7, has 16 gigabyte of RAM, and running Windows 7 Pro. Suddenly it stopped working, so took it to a computer repair shop. They told me the graphics card was bad. They pulled out the graphics card, and now it's configured so that the graphics is taken care of by the motherboard. And I have the graphics card sitting here in front of me. I noticed that since the graphics is being taken care of by the motherboard, graphics are running a lot more slowly. I don't play any video games, but I do have a graphic-intensive screensaver. And also, if you remember the old pinball from Windows XP, I downloaded that, even though I have Windows 7. And it's running in such a jerky stop-start way that I can't use it. So I have to replace the video card, and I've never done this before, so I need your advice. The one I pulled out is made by a company called Zotac, and it says on it... DDR3, 1 gigabyte, 64-bit. And I was looking into memory, and I saw a lot of memory, and I'm confused. Some of it is DDR, some of it is GDDR, and I just need your advice on what kind of a card I should use to replace this.
Yeah, what? DDR stands for double data rate. And what? And there are three standards of that, obviously DDR1, 2, and 3. Three being the better of them. GDDR is graphics, double data rate, which is slightly higher and more expensive. But it depends on what sort of graphics you're going to be doing. Now, you say you're not a gamer, so I don't necessarily know that you need to spend the money on GDDR memory. The DDR3, if the Zotac card was working for you fine, and you were happy with the speed and et cetera, then replacing it with another card that has DDR3 memory, a gigabyte of DDR3 memory, and is 64-bit will serve you just as well.
The bigger question is, what kind of slot does your computer have?
Right.
Is it
PCIe?
Okay. And then how many lanes is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's usually on the motherboard description in the manual. So that's the thing you have to match also is the slots and the number of lanes. The more lanes it is, the faster it is. So you'll find graphics cards designed for gaming can go $3,000, $5,000. Just a basic graphics card for routine stuff you can get for a couple $100 or less. So what's been happening is since you moved to the video card on the motherboard, it is sharing some of your main system RAM for video, which means that everything runs a little bit slower to do your video. The video works, it's just slower.
And it's probably got less memory and is a less capable card that's built into the motherboard. So, yeah, basically replacing it with another DDR3 1 gig 64-bit PCIe, check the number of lanes. Replacing it with an identical card should give you the identical... work, it should work identically, right? It should give you the identical support performance.
Okay, now let me tell you what I did. I called Zotac. I described to them the problem. I need to replace the video card, and I told them the model number of this video card. They say they don't make it anymore, but they say they have an upgrade, a replacement for this video card that should work. So I was thinking of just buying that and putting it in since the sales guy said it was a replacement. I figured it should work the same. But if I do that, I'm just wondering, would I need to also download new video drivers, or should the drivers I have already work, since it's just an upgrade card?
No, I'm sure that whatever drivers you had are no longer the right ones. Any new card would need new drivers. But when you put in the new card and start the machine, it will ask you, I got this new thing, what about drivers? And you can point it to it. So download those first, make sure you have those handy, whether they come on a CD with the card or you have to download them from the manufacturer. put all those ducks in a row before you actually install the card. Certainly asking the tech that will help. Also check out the specs of this new card. Make sure it is indeed DDR3 1 gig 64-bit PCIe and matches the number of lanes. That will absolutely help. That will absolutely, nothing is absolute, but it will come closer to completely guaranteeing that it works exactly like the old one.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let us know what you get. It's tough when you have such an essential piece as your video card. It is the thing that really is the interface. It's the presentation of everything to you, right? So that's a hard thing to have to replace.
And there's such a wide range of cards and manufacturers and capabilities and performance. Just basic video cards versus, higher end if you're doing CAD work, and even higher end if you're doing, first-person shooters with, 3D textures.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joanne from Greece, New York. Welcome, Joanne. What's up?
Hello. I've definitely decided I do not want Office 10.
Okay.
But and I'm going to Mac completely by February. So I believe I downloaded it on my HP computer desktop and never started it.
It being Office 10?
Yes.
Okay.
Or do you mean Windows 10?
See that if it's on there, I don't want it to, if it's on there, I want to delete it, or I don't want it to automatically start sometime.
Well, what, are you talking about Windows 10 or Office 10?
Windows 10, I'm sorry. Okay. Windows 10.
What are you planning to do with the machine when you move to a Mac?
Get rid of it.
Then you don't care.
Okay. It won't automatically start unless I tell it to start.
Well, if you're moving to a Mac by February, you've only got a couple of weeks left with that machine anyway.
Okay.
And if it does start to install, just say cancel.
Just say cancel.
I'll do that in the middle of the night.
If you leave it on, it will, sure.
How do I find out if it's installed or if it's on my computer?
Well, if you were to I
go to that little window thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And it says get Windows 10.
As long as it continues to say that, you're in good shape.
Okay.
If it says install Windows 10, then it's already downloaded.
Let me click on that and see.
And we posted a program on our link list called GWX Control Panel a little bit ago, and it will remove the Get Windows 10 icon from your taskbar. It will keep it out of your taskbar because Microsoft keeps putting it back, and it will tell you if Windows 10 has been downloaded and allow you to delete the download files if you want to.
Okay, now how do I go find that?
Go to soundbites.org.
Okay.
And on our front page, if you scroll down a little bit, it's... right now, it's near the bottom, so if we post any more links, it's going to get scrolled off the bottom, yeah.
So go there now. It's called GWX Control Panel.
Control Panel.
Get rid of Windows 10.
To permanently remove the Get Windows 10 icon.
Okay, that sounds good. One more quick question. Since I'm going to Mac, I'm going to have to change my Excel spreadsheet or something. What is LibreOffice? Will that work on Mac?
Yep. LibreOffice is a free alternative to the Microsoft Office suite. It includes a word processor like Word, a spreadsheet like Excel, a presentation program like PowerPoint, a database, and a couple of other things, graphics packages.
Is it a good thing to do?
I've been using LibreOffice for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
OpenOffice first and then LibreOffice for about 10 years. I've yet to find something I can't do. There are some very high-end functions in Excel that LibreOffice doesn't have.
I don't do high-end stuff.
Right, exactly. So I don't think you're going to have any issues.
Okay.
In addition, anybody that I've sent, you can set LibreOffice up so that it actually saves documents in the Microsoft formats.
Hmm.
So if I, for example, make a document and send it to Dave Enright,
okay,
who uses Office. He doesn't know the difference. The only real issue might be fonts.
Okay.
Windows people and Mac people don't have identical fonts.
Okay.
So you may send somebody something where the font looks a little funky. Oh, well. Yeah. You know what? Oh, well.
So if I send somebody, if I do something in Libre, it won't necessarily go to somebody that has just Office.
Yes, it will. Yeah.
You have to save it as an Office document,
right,
or set that to be the default.
Right.
Okay.
So it has its own format.
Okay.
But you can set it so that it always saves as an Office format instead.
Okay.
Then you never have to think about it again.
And the Mac will come with Apple's Office Suite built in,
right,
Keynote and Numbers and Pages. And if you really want to, you can buy the Microsoft Office Suite for Mac, but that's $150.
Yeah, right. I don't.
So it's easier to use the free alternatives.
Okay, sounds great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy, Joanne.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Yep. A lot of people looking to move from Windows 10. A lot of people looking at Macs.
Yep.
A lot
you're
of people
have to
looking
learn,
at Chromebooks.
You're going to have to learn a new way to use Windows anyway. You might as well switch to something else.
Exactly right, and we're finding that a lot of people are doing that. I can't deny that it's now's the time. If you're going to learn, like you said, if you're going to learn something new anyway, learn something new that's actually going to be a little more useful to you. People are tired of Microsoft, and I think they're very unhappy with this idea that in the future, Microsoft's operating system will be subscription-based.
Yeah, so if Microsoft actually goes through with their plan to do that, they're going to lose a lot of market share to Apple. They will basically be committing programmers
I completely agree. I think that the business community will embrace it, because then they know they've got the latest and greatest. They know what it's going to cost them every year. They can budget that, yada, yada, yada. But the average person will look to a Mac. They'll look to Chromebooks. They'll look to Linux. They'll look to anything other than paying yearly for Microsoft. It's a deal that people don't want. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, not Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have Mark from Greece, New York on the line. Hiya, Mark. What's up?
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
We're peachy. How are you?
Good. Did you mention that Windows 7 wouldn't have Internet Explorer 11?
Yes.
Because mine does.
It is possible to put it on. It is not supported.
Okay. I don't even know how I got 11.
I don't know.
Because I don't even use this browser. I just said, well, geez, what do I have on here? And I checked, and that's I've got 11.0.9600.18163.
I don't know. One day it just kind of showed up here for no apparent reason.
That's interesting.
Well, it looks like you can download Internet Explorer for Windows.
You can
7.
Download it, but it doesn't. It's not an automatic.
It knows it's not compatible with my system because.
Well,
I'm
there's
running
that.
Mac.
Yeah, I would get the same issue. Yeah.
And it has.
So it's a manual download.
It has a KB number on it. For security updates.
Interesting. Well, yeah, Windows Internet Explorer 11 will indeed get updates. It is the latest one.
Right.
It's all the other numbers that will not. And Microsoft is getting more adamant about that. I mean, this is they're closing up ranks. They're narrowing the field. No Windows but 8.1 or 10. No version of Internet Explorer but 11. So they're really, and Edge, of course, which is not Internet Explorer, they keep telling us. But yeah, they're narrowing the field. They want to support fewer things so that they can make more money by not having to support so much.
They want to support more things and then abandon them.
Well, they all do that. You know, I can name you 50 products from Google that I've always loved that Google has just dropped, just dumped by the wayside, and me with them, by the way, he hinted. But it's understandable, I guess, because this is a large part of how any company works. You don't keep supporting the same products that are old and diluting your effort in update, upgrade, and support by having 50 or 60 different versions of something.
Right.
And it does also make it easier for developers to write websites if they know everyone is using one browser. But that hasn't been true for 20 years. They should make the website generic enough that it works on any browser. Don't automatically assume they're running Internet Explorer.
Well,
you
will still see sites that are optimized for Internet Explorer because Microsoft has some developer tools that only work well under Windows. And I rather only one work well under Internet Explorer and presumably Edge. So you will sometimes see optimized for Internet Explorer. It's basically lazy programming rather than any real reason.
Optimized for isn't bad. It's when they tell you it will not work completely on your browser that's really frustrating.
Well, back in the day, the IRS actually put a ruler on their website and said, make sure your browser is set to this width.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to use our website.
So if you had a 15-inch monitor, too bad, it was designed for 17 inches.
Yeah, exactly right. So, or if you had a 17-inch monitor and it was designed for 15, you had a bunch of space over on the side that you couldn't use. But nowadays, most people at least are making more generic websites that handle everything.
That's the rare occasion when I actually use Internet Explorer is when I come to a website, very rare, maybe once a year, that says, you know, it needs this, and then I go, is it worth it?
Yeah, right.
You know, do I really want to go there if that's what they want me to use?
Right.
But that's about it. But I have no clue how this got on my system. I don't remember downloading it because I wouldn't really have a reason to.
I don't know what to tell you. It's unlikely that Microsoft just did that. So, or maybe it really is part of
the... Do you have Windows 7 Pro?
No. Home...
Because that one page I found said that on Pro it downloads automatically, but Home it doesn't.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
All I can think of is you did indeed download it at some point and just forgot about it.
Could be.
Senior moment, Mark.
Maybe it was an optional install, not a...
Yeah. It may have been an optional install that he didn't uncheck. Thanks, Mark. Oh, Mark is gone. We sometimes forget, you know, one of the things that we do is zoom through those installs. Next. And then we're shocked when we get some sort of piece of software that we don't know where it came from.
You got 27 toolbars and ads everywhere.
Right. All right, our next caller is Gary, also from Greece, New York. It's Greece, New York Day. Potsdam, PA, then three from Greece. Welcome, Gary. What's up?
Got a Windows 10 computer, and I'm trying to bypass the password login.
Yeah?
How do you do that?
It's generally not recommended because that means anyone can get on your computer and see all your stuff.
Right.
What was it? User control panel 2? Start run user control panel 2.
Yeah, you can.
We'll find it.
Yeah, you can bypass Windows 10 login screen and
Windows 10 or Windows 7?
No, you're saying Windows 10, yeah?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. The problem with this is really to do it right, you need to get into the registry and fiddle with some key system files.
Mm-hmm.
And it does let you do it. It just is not
you run the
recommended.
The net plus whiz. Yeah. And you're basically setting an auto login. So the password is still there. It just doesn't stop and ask you to log in. It just automatically logs in to one specific user.
Right. The problem is if you want to get rid of that or change it again, you'll have to redo exactly the same thing. But it is doable. It saves you a half a second or two. Is this a desktop or a laptop?
Desktop.
How many people have access to that desktop?
About four.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
You can give each of them their own username, so their stuff is kept private and no one can see everyone else's stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point of usernames. It's ironic that that's been sort of the underpinning of OSs since the beginning with Unix and most of the mainframe OSs. But when desktop OSs first came out, no one could afford more than one, so everyone used one, and there was no password.
All right. Yeah.
But we'll post how to automatically bypass. It's there. It's up already. How to automatically bypass Windows 10's login screen.
Okay, thank you, guys.
So you can play with that. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we were talking about Microsoft Bob earlier, and it was a version. If you have not seen or heard of Microsoft Bob, seriously, do yourself a favor and look it up. It was an interim operating system for Microsoft.
It was Melinda's project,
it was
wasn't
Melinda's
it?
Project.
And that's where they met.
That's how they met. That's right. And he married her anyway. My favorite thing about Microsoft Bob, if you got the password wrong three times, it told you the password.
It was a precursor to Clippy, or was it after Clippy?
Oh, I'm sure Clippy came along at the same time.
Clippy popped, hey, I noticed you're having trouble logging in. Would you like me to tell you the password?
Yep, exactly.
Why, yes, Mr. Computer, thank you, and then I can break in.
Thank you. Excellent.
Excellent.
Our next caller is Don from Greece, New York. Welcome, Don. What's up?
Thank you. Welcome. Yeah, I have a desktop computer set up with two monitors, one being my desktop monitor and the other being a TV.
Yeah.
And when I try and detect the second port, it doesn't detect anything. It only detects the first, which is the computer monitor, not the TV.
All right, so let me get this straight. Is this a TV that you are also using as a computer monitor?
Yeah, and I switch back and forth, or I used to be able to switch back and forth, either viewing it on the actual standard monitor or on the TV.
Right. What you might want to try, it's one of several things. It could be that the cable has gone bad. Could be the port on the TV that's gone bad. I had that happen. It took me 2 months to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because I'm an idiot.
Try a different port.
Try a different port if you have another one.
Story.
Oh, here we go.
I had to bring the computer in for repair because I had a failed Windows 10 load.
Yeah.
And so it was freshly loaded with Windows 7. So I'm back on Windows 7, and that's when I had to do that reload, that's when this capability went away.
You may need to reinstall the drivers for your video card so it knows it can handle multiple monitors.
Oh.
Right. And one thing you may need to do is tell it you have multiple monitors.
So how do you do that?
If you click the Start button, then Control Panel, then Appearance and Personalization, then Adjust Screen Resolution.
Appearance and Personalization?
And then Adjust Screen Resolution. There's a drop-down next to multiple displays, and you can extend them, or you should theoretically see two displays at the top of that window.
Okay.
And it may be set to ignore the second one. It may be set to duplicate the second one. You can have it extend. You can have it be a separate.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking, and I don't have that option under Appearance and Personalization. What was it? What was it?
You don't have Adjust Screen Resolution under Appearance and Personalization?
Oh, it's under Display. Under Display and then Adjust Screen.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I am sorry. Yes.
Okay, I go there and it says Change Display Settings, and it gives me the option. It shows one monitor and gives me the option to detect.
There you go.
Right, hit Detect, and it should then detect the second display.
Before you do that, you have to have that second monitor running. So if it's running in TV mode, it will never be detected.
Right. So I have to actually, how do I get that to?
Well, that's on your TV. I don't know anything about your TV.
You have to set your TV.
I just get the input to the VGA port.
Right. However you do that.
Right, yeah.
First do that, and of course you'll get all kinds of nonsense from your screen. Oh, there's nothing connected.
Yeah, then the computer. I tried that already.
Well, then you may need to reboot your computer.
Assembly.
okay.
Once it knows there's a second monitor. Times.
Okay. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you, except that you, as Steve may be right, you may have the wrong drivers.
Okay, yeah.
So the next thing to try is find out what your video card is and make sure you have the correct drivers. If you do not, get the correct drivers.
How does one figure out what card I have?
You can
should be in the manual for your computer.
Yeah, you can.
No manual for the computer. I had it built locally and I didn't get any manual.
Well, then go back to where you got it and demand the manuals.
Yeah, honestly, that's not a joke. That's, and nor is that glib. Every computer,
you'll get several manuals.
Comes with manuals, you know, and you paid for them. You should get them.
Yeah, there'll be a motherboard manual, a video card manual, a Ethernet manual. You know, all the different cards that are installed in the computer have their own manual.
Okay, we're two years down the road. Probably not going to happen, I'm guessing.
Then you have to open the computer up and look on each card and see if you can find a manufacturer and model number.
Right.
And then
right.
go to the internet and look that up.
Right. Okay, well, it gives me a direction to push in.
Yep. There are programs, we're looking to find one, that will run a diagnostic in interrogation of your computer and tell you what hardware you have. So instead of saying generic VGA video card, it will say specifically what card you have.
Oh.
There's a DirectX, if you have DirectX installed, there's a DirectX diagnostic tool that you can run.
Oh, okay. Okay. I can do that.
Yeah. On the start menu, hit run, type DXDIAG.
DXDIAG.
Yeah, the DirectX Diagnostics, and there'll be a display tab. I found this on
that's D as in dog.
Dog.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. There'll be a display tab that should tell you what kind of video card you have.
Okay.
You also should be able to go to Start, Programs, Accessories, System Tools, and System Information.
Okay.
That might say generic VGA, though.
It might, yeah. But...
And that will tell you that's the problem. You don't have the right drivers.
Right.
Okay. Okay, I can check those out.
All right, good luck.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep-er.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And yeah. When you run that, by the way, the DXDiagnostics.exe, he should see a page with a series of tabs, the second one of which is system. The second one of which is display. And that's really the one he's kind of looking for.
Yep.
So that should help and give him some idea of what's going on there. But yeah, you should, whenever you buy a computer, you should get all kinds of information with it.
Or at least a CD that has the manual on it.
Right. And at the very least, a list of the components and their serial numbers and their model numbers and their names so that I can say, oh, I've got an NVIDIA... G38, 16 gig, blah, 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 whatever it is. For Pete's sake, the people who put your computer together know that. They just did it. Shouldn't be that hard to write it down and tell you.
And if it was 2 years ago, it's on the receipt that he won't find.
Well, right. Right. Yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break while you all figure out what you did with all those pieces of paper and put them in a safe place. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 40 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And Jim, shockingly not from Greece, New York, he's from Webster, is on the line. Welcome, Jim. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. How you doing? It's Tim, by the way. Happy New Year.
Tim, sorry. My fault.
No, it's okay. Two quick and easy questions for you. The first one is just relating to cleaning my laptop screen. I've been coughing, and I just want to know the best way to be able to clean that without damaging my screen. And the second question relates to the keyboard and the touchpad. I have an Acer that I bought in 2011. I have an Acer that I bought 2 years later. And they changed the keypad such that crumbs and stuff won't get stuck down in there. There's like a raised platform. And the touchpad has like a little bit of a texture to it. And boy, I tell you, my 2011 older Acer, I can type so much faster on that for some reason. And I have much more control over the touchpad as compared to this other one. Unfortunately, I can't figure out how to adjust the new one, but what I would rather do is just be able to have that old keyboard either on this computer or a new computer, and I'm wondering if that's possible, and I'll take your answers on the radio, and thanks again.
Well, hold on before you hang up. Oh, okay. Is the old one a laptop or a desktop?
It's a laptop. They're both the Aspire.
Then the answer is no.
Yeah, okay, that tells us the answer. You don't have to hang up. We'll just answer these.
Okay.
In terms of cleaning the laptop screen, I recommend the same spritz that you use for your glasses.
Oh, okay.
Make sure the computer is off.
Yep.
Off. Off.
Gotcha.
But people all the time, it was still running. Okay. So off, and then you just clean it like you would anything else. Spritz it, use a paper towel or a soft paper towel or the cloth that you use to do your glasses. The same thing can be used for the chiclet type keyboards for actually any keyboard, but you will, you can leave them off for a while if you do that because it'll drip down in there.
And you can get bigger bottles of cleaning solution.
Yep.
That cost less per unit than the little tiny eyeglass spritzer bottles. It's the same sort of thing.
Awesome.
And there are also specifically antibacterial cleaning wipes. That you can wipe your computer down after coughing on it.
That are specifically for the screen, by the way. So yeah, and most of them have some form of alcohol in them so that they evaporate very quickly. And that's fine. Now, in terms of the keyboard, really, if you had an external standard desktop keyboard, you could just plug that into your computer if it was USB, and it would work. Trying to replace one laptop keyboard with another laptop keyboard, particularly a separate model, is not going to work very well. They're all really designed for that specific case.
And they probably use a different connector on the inside.
Right.
Can I ask you something about that?
Yeah.
Then is there any way for me to be able to obtain this 2011 Aspire keyboard with the touchpad on its own and do it as like a desktop? Can I get another one somehow?
There are any number of companies that make something like that, but as to what would feel the same and work the same, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, you should be able to plug in any standard USB keyboard and trackpad and use it.
Now, on the other hand, you can change your trackpad settings. Now, which version of Windows are you running?
Windows 7, and I've tried on my new one, and it seems simple enough, and I just couldn't access it before, but I'm willing to try again.
Okay, so it's, again, Start Menu, Control Panel, Hardware and Sound.
Yeah.
Mouse.
Yeah.
Then there's a Mouse Properties window.
Right.
A Device Settings tab, and then you click the Settings button.
What's after Mouse Properties again?
Device Settings. There's a tab for Device Settings.
Right.
And then click the Settings button. And you'll see the settings. There's a plus, and whatever you're gonna do to it. And then after you've made your changes, click Apply, click OK.
That sounds very familiar. I will try it again.
Well, the other thing is, again, are you sure you have the right driver? What you need to do is to get your model number from your laptop. And, it'll be on the back. It'll be in Acer something, model number, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
And check to see if there is a specific mouse pad driver for that particular model of the laptop.
Now, are we talking about... I'm talking about just the touchpad without a mouse. Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah. The mouse driver and the touchpad driver are really the same driver.
Okay. Gosh, it drives me absolutely crazy. I have all this control with my other one, but this new one, it's constantly causing I'm hitting things accidentally with the touchpad.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's just,
Many times, one of those settings is ignore accidental input. Since they started putting the touchpads in front of the keyboard, your natural inclination, us lazy typists, are to rest your palms on the keyboard.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the corners of your thumbs are nicking the touchpad. And the computers are making the touchpads bigger
and bigger.
Some people
rest their hands so hard that they actually warp the case.
Yeah.
And that feels like a click to the mouse pad.
Yeah. And underneath one touchpad side or the other is probably your hard drive. And you don't want to be pushing down on your hard drive.
If I'm sometimes just skimming my finger, I'm using the touchpad and skimming my finger across, say I'm on YouTube, I accidentally will hit these videos and launch them unintentionally.
There's another setting called tap to click.
Tap to click. Oh.
And so you can turn that off, so you have to physically push the button instead of just tapping the trackpad.
Click, or push what button?
The trackpad button itself.
Well, you know, if you... you can set it so that simply tapping the trackpad works like a button, or you have to push hard on the lower edge of the trackpad where there is kind of an actual physical button hidden under the trackpad.
Do you suppose they could have set the defaults in such a way that, I mean, you know, certain people just aren't going to be happy with them?
Well, yeah.
It's certainly possible.
What we typically see is on Windows laptops, tap to click is turned on. And on the Mac laptops, tap to click is turned off, so you actually have to physically push the button.
Right.
It's nice to turn that on if you know you're doing it, and you just are more careful on how you touch the trackpad.
Right.
But for a lot of people, you want to turn that off so that it doesn't accidentally click when you don't want it to.
Exactly.
Right. And in fact, a lot of people also will, there used to be a setting, they may have changed the name of it, called turn off trackpad while typing.
Okay.
So that until you stop typing for half a second, if you accidentally bop your thumb down on that trackpad, it won't register.
Okay. All right. This sounds awesome. I'll go with this for now. Thanks for your help.
Good luck. Let us know.
Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, a lot of touchpads now have such a range of settings you can turn on and off. It used to be just a physical button, and now they're mostly sensors. Oh, I wonder if he may not have a physical button anymore. They may have gone to a sensor only.
It's certainly possible.
That's possible. So if you push down on your trackpad or touchpad, depending on what you call it, and actually feel it move and hear a click, then you have a physical button underneath, and you can turn off the actual tap to click.
Right.
They used to have a physical button under the touchpad. That was separate from the touchpad only.
Right, now it's built into the touchpad.
Yep.
And it's physically under the keyboard itself. All right, back to the phones. I think this is a repeat. Joanne from Greece, welcome back.
Hello. I did find a GWX control panel.
Good.
And it says I have at least one version of Windows 10 installed on my PC. There's an additional 32-bit version detected relating to Windows 10 upgrades. At least one hidden download folder was found, and Windows Update is configured to install automatically. So on the bottom of this control panel thing you told me to go to, there are 8 things. Do I check all 8 of those, or is there one of them I picked to...
Well, you check whichever ones you want. So if you want to disable the icon, you click on that one. If you want to delete the Windows 10 downloads, you click on that one.
Okay, so I can do all of them.
Yeah, if you want to do
whichever,
all those things.
Whichever you want to do, you can certainly do all of them.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do then.
All righty.
All right, and thank you so much.
Good. Good luck. Have fun.
Yeah, I hope it works.
Yep.
Thank you.
So apparently this was written by a guy who was sick of Microsoft putting that back. So in the early days when that Get Windows 10 icon came out, you could uninstall the KB that put it in. And then the next time Windows Update ran, it would reinstall it for you.
Right.
And so this guy wrote this program to prevent that Get Windows 10 from running and keep it from coming back again. And also to one thing that Windows 10 does is download the installer in the background so that you can install it when you want to. But that can take up like 5 gigabytes of your disk. And if you have a small hard drive, then that's a lot of space to lose to something you may not want.
It's a lot of space.
So you can delete that as well.
All right. Think we got time for one more call?
Yes,
Jerry from Rochester. Welcome, Jerry. What's up?
Hey, thank you. I'm having, I think it's kind of a maybe a hardware driver problem. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
This problem started about a week or so ago. I lost control of my Marble Mouse. It's a Logitech Marble Mouse. I'm left-handed, so forced to use it in a right-handed fashion, but I can go into settings and it recognizes, I think it's a Microsoft program, and I have to change it every time to the right-hand setting. That's one of the problems, and the other problem is I seem to have lost my CD-DVD driver. I have a desktop PC.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've got more problems than you really need to take your machine to a reputable dealer. That's probably your best bet at this point, I'm afraid, or find someone to come to your home.
There does, yeah, I think I do, because I got something that said there was malware.
Yeah,
somewhere in my computer, and
a lot of those messages are fake. Well, a lot of those messages are fake, trying to trick you into calling the phone number and giving over your credit card information.
Right.
Well, you could, I didn't act on that, fortunately.
Good. Yeah, you could dance the security tango. If you go to
again?
You could dance the security tango. It's at securitytango.com.
Securitytango.com. I'm writing this.
Yep. And across the top, really? It tells me I can't get to Security Tango because it's a... That's ridiculous. Okay. Across the top is a menu right under the logo there. And one of the choices there is Let's Dance. And there's the Windows Waltz and the Linux Lambada and the Mac Arena and et cetera, et cetera. You have a Windows machine. So if you click on the Windows Waltz, you'll see a step-by-step guide to dancing the security tango. Now, you'll have to figure out which one of these things you're doing, because not all of them, obviously some of them are Windows 7 or Windows 8 or Windows whatever.
Yeah.
If you go through it, you can print that list out and go through it one at a time. None of the steps are hard, but there are a lot of them.
Okay. So I have to be patient.
So you have to be very patient. Alternately, as I said, you can bring it to a vendor, and they will do it for you. They will charge you, of course, to do that. My suggestion would be that before you get too crazy with any of this stuff, you dance the security tango. And the reason I say that is that if there is indeed malware, the tango may well get rid of it for you.
Oh, okay.
So run that first, and then, you know, because if you do that yourself, that's essentially just free.
Mm-hmm.
It takes your time, obviously, but, you know, it didn't cost you any money.
Right.
So if you do that and it works, you win. If it does that and it doesn't work, then you've wasted a little time, and that's all you've wasted.
Yeah. Well, it would be an education anyway.
It would that. But depending on how big your machine is and how slow it is, it can take quite a while for each of these pieces to run. So just be aware that you need to be patient.
Okay.
Get a nice cup of tea while you wait.
Got it. Okay. If that doesn't work, take it to a dealer.
You got it.
All right. Is that you guys?
Well, it could be.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There are quite a number of reputable dealers in town, and we love each and every one of them. All right, that noise tells me you wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but you're going to get another chance to do it on the other side. We're going to take a slightly longer break. But when we come back, we will have a whole nother hour of Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Give us a call, 966-5299, 800-790-0415. It's Soundbites and member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And you are joining us for the second hour here on Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. If you've got a question for us, give us a call. Our studio number is 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And you can also watch us on the internet at soundbites.org. We have a YouTube live link there. You can listen to the audio stream on jazz901.org with the Listen Live button on the right. Many ways to get a hold of us. We also have our on-demand audio and video podcast will be available for audio download in your favorite podcatcher. And our video streams on are being saved automatically now to YouTube. I really like that. I don't have to upload anything anymore. As long as I can get the cameras working.
Well, there's that.
Just click record and start now.
Very nice. And it is 5 minutes after the hour, and we are Soundbites. Excellent job.
Thank you.
Putting all that together. Just
people always ask me if you have all that written down. I said, no, he says it exactly the same way every week, just like he was reading it off a card.
Just like I was reading it off a card.
The card is in your mind, and that's where you see it.
That's right. Our next caller is Jim from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's up?
I got a problem with logging on to my computer. I have a Toshiba laptop. It's 2010 vintage. Yesterday morning, it's a Windows 7. I went to log on, and it wouldn't accept the password, which has been in there for 5 years anyway. So I powered down, rebooted. That didn't do it. So on the reboot, I went into the F2 security there, and I couldn't do anything there. And I got a Microsoft number, and they basically couldn't help me, but he said I shouldn't have gone into the F2 there and tried to change the password there.
Yeah.
Well, that's a different password than the Windows password.
Right.
Pardon?
The password, and when you go into F2 to get into your BIOS, that's a different password. That's a BIOS password. That's not the same thing as the Windows password.
Yeah, that's what he was telling me. But did I do anything by going in there?
No, well, you may have sent a BIOS password, which just means next time you have to go in and change something in the BIOS, you'll have to remember that password.
And you may have to put the BIOS password in when you turn the computer on, and then put the Windows password in when you log into Windows.
Right. But here, let's go back to your Windows password. So it's got the right username, yeah?
The username right.
And it's the correct one.
Well, the correct one, Nick, an understanding you, I put in my regular password when I went to sign on and it wouldn't accept it.
Okay, there's two things it needs. It needs your username and your password. What I'm asking is about the username, not the password. So your username would be Jim or admin or something.
So on the screen where you type your password, there's also a username that's usually filled in for you automatically. You want to make sure that's right, too.
If someone tried to log into your computer and used a different username, it might remember that username.
Not yours.
So instead of Jim, it might be Joe. And so the password that you use for Jim wouldn't work for Joe. So you just have to, when you go in, look to see that the username is correct as well before you type in the password.
Okay, when I go to log in, I just put in what I could call a password.
I do understand that.
Right. Above that is...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Above where you type the password is the username for the account you're logging into.
Normally that doesn't change. But if someone attempted to log into your machine and used a different username, it would have that username now instead of yours.
I don't think that happened because only my wife and I use the computer.
But what username does it say?
Pardon?
What username does it say on that screen?
It doesn't say anything on the screen.
It should give...
In other words, I type in the name that we usually get into the computer with, and it won't accept it.
Before you type your password, there should be a username.
Okay, yes, just above that.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
a username, and that's correct. That's my name.
Okay.
Then I put in the password, and it won't accept the password.
All right. Do you have the... Is it possible that the caps lock key is on?
The what key?
Caps lock.
No.
Try hitting it anyway to change what it's set to. So hit the caps lock key and untype your password again. It may be on when you don't think it's on, or off when you thought it was on before.
Well, right now it doesn't show that it's being on. I just hold on a minute. Okay, it comes up, got my name above it, and there's no caps lock key. Now the caps lock key is on.
And try your password.
Leaving that on?
Yes. Because sometimes the caps lock can turn on by default or off by default, depending on BIOS settings, too.
No, that didn't do it. It got the same thing. You need a floppy disk or USB flash drive.
That's different yet.
What's the error message?
You need a something. Floppy disk is actually what the wording is, or a USB flash drive.
To do what?
Let me try it again here.
So if you're getting a different message than password not accepted or password incorrect, then there's something else wrong.
It's a whole other story, yeah.
It's down below where the password goes. It's nickname, then the reset password. I hit the reset password thing, and this feature requires removable media such as floppy disk or USB flash drive.
Right, to reset your password, yes.
Or connect to USB flash drive and then try again.
What's the error message will you get when you type in your password?
Okay, let me try that one again. It's pretty much the same thing. Username or password is incorrect.
So either the password got changed by someone else, or your registry is corrupted and it can't read the password to compare with what you're typing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too.
Both issues are very difficult. Yeah, very bad. Thank you, Mike.
Both those issues are very, very bad.
Yeah.
Okay, there's really only four things that can cause this. One is the caps lock might be on. We've already decided it's not that. You might be typing in the wrong password. You think you're not typing in the wrong password.
No.
You might be trying to log into the wrong user account, which we've already decided it's not that. So the only thing left is an administrator on the computer might have reset your password. Or as Steve said, it could well be that the
Someone
registry
else,
is corrupted and that's a problem. The way to... Oh, man, I don't know what to tell
you.
Log
into safe mode as the administrator user and not your username. And then as the administrator, you can reset your password.
Right.
Is that done where I went into the BIOS?
No.
No, that's, again, where you normally type in your password.
Right.
You would change the username to admin. and type in admin and type in whatever the admin password is for that machine, which it sounds like you don't know.
Well, the admin password might be the...
Don't tell me.
It may be a separate password. It may not have an admin password, but it should.
I might not have an admin password. I don't know.
Right, well,
I don't think anything should be corrupted. I have the AVG premium and malware, and it should be pretty well protected.
Yeah, corruption. This is a 6-year-old computer, and it may just be that the hard drive itself has corrupted in that area where the registry is.
One other thing here is that numerical lock light comes on off when I boot up, and it's still on now.
Okay, now we're there. Here's the thing about the number lock. On most laptops, is this a desktop or a laptop?
It's a laptop.
On most laptops, that means when you hit numbers like K and J and L, letters like K and J and L, you're actually getting like 5 and 4 and 6. So what you want to do is type that, before you type your password, turn off the num lock.
Okay, it's off.
Now type your password in.
And see if it likes that.
I still got the caps lock on.
Take that off too.
Oh, let me go back here, man.
That should that could be part of the problem right there.
Especially if your password uses some of those characters.
Right.
I get a message here. The user profile service failed the logon. User profiles cannot be loaded.
All right. That's a worse problem.
That's a registry error. That's a now you got to take your machine into somebody.
The file that holds your password can't be read, and so it can't confirm that's your password.
How does that change automatically?
It doesn't change. It just corrupts. The spinning hard drive that piece of the hard drive the data is on could be bad. Could have written the data wrong the last time you were using the computer.
The problem with Microsoft Windows in general is that it is very delicate. The registry is particularly delicate. And if you do not shut the machine down correctly, things will corrupt. And if they corrupt in the wrong part of the registry, you're kind of doomed.
You still may be able to go into safe mode to get into the computer. But that user so all your user data is there, but the profile file that tells the computer what your data is can't be read.
Right.
And that becomes a lot trickier to recreate that profile to get your data back.
Right.
Okay.
But really, I think at this point, you need to take it to somebody and have them.
Yeah, that was my next option. I wanted to check with you guys first.
Yeah, it sounds like that's where you are. Sorry.
One final question, though. What's the problem with Windows 10? Everybody seems to be scared of it.
Well, people are afraid of change. It is the big thing, and Windows 10, honestly,
it looks different.
Yeah,
and things have moved. The way you do things has changed.
It's actually much more like 7 than 8 was, but things are a little different. They're in different places, and some things have changed semi-drastically. The way you get to things is different.
The start menu is completely different.
Start menu is different. So people are very unhappy with that simply because it's change.
And a lot of people just don't like the fact that Microsoft is forcing the update on you.
Right.
Yeah, I keep getting that all the time. I've been going to do it, but I got to get a backup system first before I try that.
Definitely,
yes. Do not wait. Well, you've already waited, and now there's a problem with the registry. But once your machine is back up, you need back. Yeah, once your machine is up and running again, you need to create a backup system.
Yeah, I do. I know that.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah, we see this too often. People don't think about backup. They don't think about security tango type stuff. They don't think about any of that until it's a little too late, then they want to lock the barn door. But
there's nothing on there. Yeah, it's the mistaken assumption that there's nothing on there that anyone wants. Well, that doesn't matter if someone's going to break into your machine, or there's nothing on there that I need backed up.
until you don't have it
until
anymore.
You don't have it anymore, and the pictures that you know the pictures you took of your new grandchild, you know, they're gone. And then the other thing people say is, well, the computers don't break. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Have you heard this show?
For the last 25 years.
Exactly.
Whoever told you computers don't break.
Was not paying attention.
Or owned a repair shop that wanted you to bring the computer into them.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joe from Greece, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's up?
I need your advice. I got a computer at Dell with an i5.
Yeah.
And I went from 8 to 10, and 10 is a piece of junk. I find that the system starts working like 15th. It stopped 5 times. When I look at the reliable monitor, it says system settings dot exec stop working. And then it gives me like 4 or 5 a day. Since the 28th of December, I've had 13 failures, and each day I could have more, 2 or 3 failures. I'd like to know if you have any suggestions.
Okay, you've been cutting in and out, but I think we got the gist of what you were saying.
A lot can depend on how much memory you have in your computer.
I'm only using 7% of my memory.
How much memory do you have?
That's 600,000, whatever it is, 600K.
No, not your disk space, your memory.
Pardon?
Not the disk space, the memory.
Oh, I don't have idea. I don't use. I've got a lot of photographs in there. I've got over 1,500.
Yeah, that again is disk space. That's not what we need to know. How much memory does the computer have? If it's only got 2 gigs of memory, or if it only has 4 gigs of memory, that may not be enough.
I don't have the 5 gigs way of finding out. I'm 82 years old. This stuff is new to me.
Check the manual that came with the computer.
I'm looking at the reliable monitor right now.
We don't know. I don't know what that is. But if you go into your control panel and go into system, that will tell you how much memory you have and what processor you have.
Right. Here's what you need to do. Click the start button. Oh, no, you're in Windows 10.
I got the Windows. I'm on the control panel now.
Right. One of the control panels should be system.
Systems. All right. Systems. Systems and security. Okay. It says review your computer status, backup, restore Windows, find and fix problems.
Probably computer status. When you used to be able to right click on my computer.
Okay, I got security and maintenance. Security and maintenance.
No, we want system properties.
You want properties. All right, yeah. That's your control panel change control.
You know what? On your desktop, do you have this PC?
I'm sorry. I have a problem hearing.
That's okay. On the desktop.
This is a laptop.
Right. But on the desktop, on the screen, you have a bunch of icons. Is one of them labeled this PC?
I don't see it.
Yeah, that's optional.
Okay.
So somewhere in the control... So that's the other problem with Windows 10 is everything's moved. Somewhere in the control panel are the system properties that tell you what processor you have, how much memory you have, what version of the operating system you're running. It looks... I found a picture that says system and then about.
Oh, wait a minute. I got a system view amount of RAM and processing speed.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, the processor is Intel R... Core TM, it's an i5-4200U, PCU at 1.60GH, installed memory 6.00GB, 5.71GB usable.
Yeah, okay.
So 6 gigs of RAM, but only 1.6 processor. So it's a very, very slow processor at 1.6.
Yeah, but you have plenty of... RAM.
Six gigs is okay.
Yeah, it's okay. And when you say it stops working, does it crash?
It freezes.
Freezes. And then after a while it comes back?
No. I have to manually turn it off, and then I turn it back on again and restart it.
How long do you wait before you turn it off?
About 10 minutes.
Okay. Here, you've got one of several things going on. And again, if you're not comfortable with doing it yourself, take it to a reputable dealer. But it could be you have a virus.
And well, I use Trend Micro, and I've just ran a complete, a full scan. It took me an hour, and it said I was free of, the only thing that they said there was a cookie called Double Click.
Yeah, Double Click cookies are everywhere. It may well be a malware that is not detectable by Trend Micro. That's why I always tell people to dance the security tango, because it has several different products in it, all of which complement each other.
You know what? I love the Tri-Security Tangle, but I've gotten about halfway through and I got lost.
Well, a lot of people do, and that's why there are a number of reputable dealers in town who actually offer to run it for you.
Okay.
Now, they'll certainly charge you, and that is their right, and they, you know, it's how they stay in business.
Do you have any idea how much it costs? Because I'm on a limited budget.
Yeah, no, I get that. I don't really follow that. I couldn't tell you what
range? The latest $40 and $100.
Yeah, I would say it's probably going to be somewhere in that range, and probably a little closer to the top end because it's a couple hours worth of work.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck.
Bye.
That's one of the problems that we run into fairly regularly.
And if it freezes and he turns it off, he's probably doing more corruption to it
by not
shutting down normally. But sometimes that's the only thing you can do.
Yep. All right, going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Soundbites, a member-supported Jazz. 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And shockingly, at 28 minutes after the hour, we still are Soundbites, and we have Mike from Rochester, New York on the line. Hiya, Mike. What's up?
I just had a couple of questions. One on the Chromebook.
Yeah.
I just got it, but I wanted to find. I tried to put the Super Spyware on, and it says that's only made for Windows.
Yep. Here's the deal with Chromebooks. They, so far at least, do not get viruses.
Oh, okay.
That we know of.
Right. So far, here's the way this works. It's actually pretty clever. There are actually two versions of the operating system in memory, only one of which is accessible. And every time you boot, it checks the two of them against each other. And if the one that's accessible is different, the Chromebook will actually go down and go up to Windows to... Hello, hi. No Windows in this. The Chromebook will actually go up to Google and re-download a fresh copy of the operating system.
Oh, okay.
So there's no antivirus that works with it because so far at least none is needed.
You will still have the chance of getting a fake message saying that you're infected.
Right.
And it usually says you've got a Windows virus, your Windows is infected. Well, you're not running Windows, so that's the first clue that it's fake. But that's sort of the latest craze is Windows will open from a website that say you're infected and try to trick you into calling a phone number toll-free. You can call the phone number and then give over your credit card information.
Oh.
So those kinds of things are just Windows on a website. It has nothing to do with the operating system itself, but they're lying to trick money out of you.
Yeah, right. I understand. Okay, well, that's one of the things. Well, one other thing. On Windows 7, is there any way to stop the upgrade for Windows 10?
Yes.
Currently.
There is, we actually posted this a while ago. It may have dropped
it's
off the front page by
off
now.
The front page by now, yeah.
So you have to go to page two of the secure of Soundbites.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go to page two. but there is a program called GWX Control Panel. And it will permanently remove the Get Windows 10 icon.
Okay, that's very good.
The problem with that, of course, is that Windows 10 is only free until next June.
I understand that.
Okay, good.
But I got two drives with Windows 10 on it.
Okay.
So I just wanted to make sure that I'm running Windows 7 on one drive, and I got two other drives for that.
Yep.
Or on 10.
Right, and on that right. Windows 7, Microsoft is going to keep pushing the Windows 10 upgrade on you.
Yes.
And then eventually it will install itself automatically. So that's the other thing that the GWX control panel will stop from happening.
For now, until Microsoft figures a way around it.
Okay. Thank you very much for your help.
Absolutely, our pleasure.
Yeah. Bye.
People are very adamant about not going to Windows 10. And I think you're right, Steve. I think a lot of it has to do with it's being forced on people.
Yeah.
People don't like that at all. They don't, okay.
And I kind of...
Well, that and people care about the switch to subscription model, and they're like, well, I don't want my computer to, you know, go offline. Mm-hmm. If I stay with Windows 7, it may be the lower edition, but at least I will have my computer.
Yeah, exactly. And with the Mac, at least, you may pay for an update, but that's different from paying every year whether you get an update or not.
Right. Apple has stopped charging for upgrades to the OS because it's built into the price of the computer. Microsoft doesn't have that luxury as much because they don't sell as computers. They're starting to sell their Surface tablets now. So when you buy a new computer, you are already paying a license for the Windows that's on there. And quite frankly, in Microsoft's point of view, you're not buying new computers often enough. So they're not enough money from
it. It's your fault.
So by having that be an annual subscription rather than, you know, when you get around to buying a new computer every 10 years, it's better for Microsoft to do that.
Right.
And I also kind of think that's why they've said they're gonna stop numbering Windows. It's just going to be Windows. Because then you can't complain that, you know, I don't want Windows 12. Because it's not called Windows 12. It's just called Windows.
Right. It's just an upgrade to Windows.
There'll still be a number in there somewhere.
And we'll
call it by whatever that number is.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's one of the reasons I love my Chromebook. Every update from the beginning has been free. It's why I love Linux. Every update has been free. It's great. And on the Chromebook, the updates are automatic. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve. From Greece, New York. Hiya, Steve. What can we do for you?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
A little over a week ago, a friend came to me and asked me how to get to his Windows update files, the KB numbers that we used to be able to access and uninstall.
Yeah.
I couldn't find how to get to those. Are they no longer accessible in Windows 10? I'm sorry, Windows 10.
Oh, you're in Windows 10.
Yeah.
Well, there haven't been any in Windows 10.
Well, there have been updates, but they just don't come down as a KB.
Right.
They're Windows updates now.
Right, and so there haven't been any KB updates.
Well, there must be some way, a race I presume there is, of uninstalling one of their updates.
Yeah, that's a very good question. It's not something they're going to.
I don't remember what he told me his issue was, but he went online and I wrote it down. What update they told him to uninstall a Windows update to fix a problem in his Windows 10.
Right.
And he couldn't find it, and I couldn't figure out how to do it.
Start Control Panels. Wait, is this Windows 10? No. Control Panels Programs. It says Windows 10. To remove an update. View installed updates, and you can remove one.
All right, there has been... Well, no, that's the... No.
Nope,
there haven't. There just haven't been any. That's. There haven't been no KB... doggone it.
Everything we're finding is how to uninstall Windows 10, period. or the Windows 10 upgrade notice.
Okay. I wish you were right here so I could ask more questions. He just gave me a KB number, told me it was Windows 10, asked me how to uninstall it.
Is it the KB to install Windows 10, or is he already running Windows 10?
He's already running Windows 10. I guess he went online. He's having a problem. They said to go in and uninstall that update.
And how did they tell him to do that?
They didn't.
And who were they?
And I have no idea, because, again, this wasn't my research.
I don't know who these people are or what they actually told him.
If it was a legitimate Microsoft support, which is hard to find anyway, then they should have told him how to do that.
All right. So it's basically, as far as you know, there is no way to... I mean, obviously, Windows is doing updates all the time. There is no way to uninstall one of their updates.
Well, there are upgrades, and you can go into the...
There's still an ad remove
There's still ad remove programs. So if you find that update in there, you can remove it. But I know that back in the day, you used to be able to actually go to the hard drive and find the KB files and all of that other stuff. And that hasn't happened yet, if it ever will. So the best thing I can say is to go into add remove programs and see if that update is listed in there.
Right. I would presume I actually did that, but I didn't see it on mine, but I wasn't having the problem, so.
Right. You need to do that on the machine that's actually done the update, so.
There was the November update that came out, but it's called November update. It's not a KB.
Okay. All right, so...
And again, that's why we hate Windows...
Something we can't do and don't need to do.
And that's why one of the reasons we hate Windows 10 is because they've changed things and we don't know how to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Especially frustrating for us because we're the ones that tell people how to do stuff.
Right, exactly.
We don't know yet.
I don't know what to tell you except that... check... see, if you wanted to stop Windows Update, you can go into the Update and Security and Windows Update, check for updates. But
is there a button in there that says installed updates, maybe? In the Windows Update control panel.
No.
Neither of us are running Windows. So
yeah, right. Well, I need to, except my wife wants that machine, so I may be buying another computer. But I would suggest at this point that what you need to do is to check in add remove programs on his machine.
Right.
And see if it's there, because that's the only way you're going to know.
Hopefully this will be a quick question for you. When my laptop first boots, I get this screen with the kid rolling downhill on the bicycle. I got to escape out of there to get to the login screen.
Yeah. Is this Windows 10?
Yes, Windows 10.
Yep.
Is there any way to, because sometimes I have difficulty getting out of the downhill picture to get to the login screen. Is there any way to bypass that and go straight to the login screen?
Again, that's automatically, well, you don't want to bypass the login screen. You just want to go right to the type in your password.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know of a way to do that. I've been looking for that myself.
Okay.
Luckily, I have a touch screen laptop, so I can just swipe up.
Yeah. Well, Control-Alt-Delete always works.
Right.
But I would rather not have to do that. I would rather just go straight to the login screen.
Right, no, I do understand that. I just haven't found it yet myself.
Okay.
And I did find it in the Windows settings.
Oh.
You go to Windows Update, Advanced Options, View Your Update History, and Uninstall Updates. So it's hiding way deep down in there.
Okay, could you do it just a little slower so I can write it?
In the Settings app.
Yep.
Under Update and Security.
Yep.
Under Windows Update.
Yep.
Advanced Options. View Your Update History.
History, okay.
Uninstall Updates. And I will post this one as
well. Okay, well, if you're going to... Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
There you go.
You guys are the best.
Thanks. Have fun.
You too. Bye.
Excuse me.
And if it's a... Now, if it's a build rather than an update, there's a different thing to do. So Microsoft is changing the names of things now. So a build is a bigger deal than an update. So I bet the November update is really a new build.
Right.
Yeah. Programmer speak.
Yeah. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Michael Oden, who's rocking out on the drums, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 40 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we have Gerd from Victor, New York on the line. Hiya, Gerd. What's up?
Oh, lost him.
Probably not Gerd from Victor, New York. Okay.
Give us a call
things,
back. Yeah.
These things happen. Gerd, please call back. We'll be more than delighted to put you on the line. We didn't do this out of deep and abiding hatred for you. It's just stuff happens. And we have Gerd back again. Are you there, Gerd?
Yes, I am.
Yay. What can we do for you today?
Well, I'm kind of curious. I got a Chromebook.
Good for you.
For me to sign in, I always have to put in my password. How do I circumvent the password thing?
You can't.
Really?
Yep.
And you shouldn't want to.
And indeed, you shouldn't want to.
But I'm the only one that uses the Chromebook.
Okay.
Someone else could happen along and get in and see your stuff.
Shoot them.
No, in general,
you can run up and go to the bathroom, and then they'll sneak by.
Right.
Yeah.
This is sort of non-negotiable at this point. Although I say that now, and I bypass
or auto
book login.
Okay, there's a button to disable automatic sign-in. Maybe that'll do it.
Yeah, that's it. You want the automatic sign-in.
Yeah,
right?
So you want it to automatically sign in without stopping and asking you.
Well, it's kind of a pain to put in my password every time when I know what I'm doing.
Do you reboot every time, or is this, say, a screensaver password? When the screensaver locks, you got to put your password in again, right?
Yeah.
You could extend the screensaver time.
Right. Unfortunately, here's the deal. On a Chromebook, all of the user's files are encrypted by default.
Okay.
One of the things that keeps it secure.
Okay.
You decrypt it with the password. If you don't type in the password, there's no decryption.
Okay.
So there's, as far as I know, you can change the main user using PowerWash, but you can't not have somebody be the user who logs in.
Okay. Are you aware of what I'm asking? I'm asking for when I open up my Chromebook in the morning, I have to type in my password.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which is a pain.
I do understand that. I truly do. Except that the folks at Chrome don't really care. You can reset the entire device by using a thing called PowerWash.
Well, I've done that.
But you still left the login with an account once you're done with that.
Okay.
I don't know what to tell you.
One thing to do is make your password shorter.
No, you don't ever want to make your password shorter.
And Chrome probably prevents you from having a weak, short password because they're that kind of company.
I don't think Chrome really cares about my password. I've made it shorter, but I still have to use the password to get into the account.
Right. So it decrypts your data so the data can be used.
Right. And that's a security feature, and they're not interested in letting you bypass that security feature.
Okay.
See, if you were able to bypass it, they would have to either assume that when you open the laptop, you're you and they decrypt all your private stuff, or they just don't encrypt it at all. And in either case, that's very poor security. One of the things that a Chromebook prides itself on is security. If somebody steals your Chromebook, if they don't have your username and password, they can use it. They can log in as guest or whatever they want to do, but they can't get at your files.
I understand all of that. I really do. The problem is I'm the only one that uses the Chromebook.
You can't be sure of that.
Yes, I can.
How?
Well, Google can't be sure of that.
Right. Google can't be sure of that.
The big thing is that they just simply do not allow a mechanism to bypass
it. Anyone in your house could get to your computer and use your stuff if you didn't have to type a password.
There's only one other person in my house, and she doesn't use my Chromebook.
You know what?
You never have guests?
We can go around on this little waltz all day long. The reality is there is no way to change it.
Yeah.
There is no way to change it. Google is not interested in in making an unsecurable laptop. So they have made it as secure as possible, and they make it difficult to bypass that security.
Okay.
Sorry.
Do you have an Android phone?
Yes.
There is a way when you walk up to your computer with your Android phone in your pocket, it knows it's you and unlocks itself.
Oh. Okay.
And we are trying to find out how to do that. This is an article from PC World. There's a feature called Smart Lock.
Yeah, there's a feature called Smart Lock. You turn it on your phone, you add it in your computer. And for example, with my laptop, as long as my phone is unlocked, right?
Yep.
So either for you, of course, since you never lock your phone and don't care if anybody steals all your information,
right,
your phone is always unlocked anyway. So what happens is the Chromebook, when you turn it on, talks through Bluetooth, so you have to have Bluetooth turned on, to your phone.
Yep.
And it says, are you unlocked? Phone says, yes, I am. And then your PC unlocks, your Chromebook unlocks. You still have to click on your picture.
Okay.
But that's all you have to do. You don't have to type in your password.
Okay.
That also means that anybody who walks up to your... See, this is still secure, because anybody who walks up to your Chromebook without your phone cannot unlock your Chromebook.
Gotcha.
So this is still a security measure from Google. And in fact, I've set my phone so that it is unlocked when I'm home and locked everywhere else. So when I'm home, I just click on my picture and my Chromebook opens up. Everywhere else, I have to type in my password, so I'm still secure.
Very good.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Yepper.
You guys are the best.
Thanks. Have fun. Yep.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yep.
So then a thief has to steal your phone and your computer.
Right, right.
Which are sitting next to each other.
Right. Well, if they are sitting next to each other, not always. The whole idea behind two-factor authentication, which this kind of is, you have to have the laptop and the phone.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And the laptop has to be, or the phone has to be unlocked. So for somebody like me who has it automatically unlocked when I'm at home and automatically locked when I'm everywhere else, it's the best of both worlds. I open up my Chromebook at home. I just click on the picture I'm in. Everywhere else, I have to type in the password. I typed in my password for 20 years in like 47 different systems every day. So, and all of those were separate passwords. By the way, don't write to me. And so I don't find that onerous in the least. But then also, I'm a touch typist, so that makes it a little harder. And as the arthritis sets in, I do sometimes wish I had a shorter password.
Yep. And it's so common for people to take their laptops into public Wi-Fi, coffee shops, bookstores. You know, you get up to the counter to refill your coffee. Someone takes 20 seconds, types in your computer, and say, you know, turns on a file sharing port.
Mm-hmm.
And then at their leisure, at their table, copy all your files.
Yep.
As inconvenient as Google and Microsoft are with their password logins for Chromebook and like Windows 10, they're coming at it from a good place. They're coming at it from a place that these computers are going to be in more public places. Everything's more public. So more likely than not, it's better to have it than not to have it.
Right. We don't want the bad guys into your stuff, so that makes it a little harder for you to get in, too.
Yep. Like I've said many times, I am fearless taking my Chromebook places because it is so well protected. We went to Arizona for Christmas. I threw it in my carry-on bag, and it traveled with me everywhere, and I had no trouble. If I'd lost it, I lost it. I'd have to buy a new one, but all I have to do is type in my password I'm in, change my password, and I'm good to go forever. Yep. Easy enough.
Yeah, security is the opposite of convenience.
Right, right, right. Convenience is nice. Security is better.
And that's why we hear about a lot of breaches into things. So we were talking about Microsoft Bob. It's convenient to have Bob tell you the password if you forget it. It's not secure because that means the bad guy in front of your computer can get your password too.
Right. And it's a lot like, and I'm sorry, Gerd, but it's a lot like complaining that you have to lock your house door. It's mildly inconvenient to have to unlock your house door to get into it. I suppose if you were being chased by a horde of zombies, you would be upset that your house was locked.
That's a big meme in horror stories. You know, they're trying to get into your car and it's locked, and then the guy kills you before you get it unlocked.
Right, right. but other than that, here in the real world, I don't think that's an issue. Being able to lock your house and your car, you know, very few people I know don't lock their cars. Yes, it's a little bit inconvenient to unlock it to get in, but it's also a little bit more secure.
My wife yells at me for locking the car inside the locked garage.
That makes sense
to
me.
Yeah, because sometimes she doesn't lock the garage.
And I see that and hear it all the time. You know, I used to live in New York City. I think there's maybe 4 days out of my entire life I haven't locked my car or my house.
Yep. I remember seeing a keychain quick release. So when you give the valet your car key, you don't have to give him your house keys and your office keys and all your other keys, too. Yep, Nick's got one of those on his little carabiner thing there, too. Yeah. So the only thing the valet can steal is your car.
Right.
Because there have been, I don't know how many thousands of cases where an unscrupulous valet or a fake valet—that's a big thing now too. Fake valets—they get your keys, you know, copy your house key. They know you're going to be at dinner for an hour and go and rob your house.
Yep. Alternately, I have seen it actually happen to us at one point. Somebody, we parked at a hotel and they loaned out our car. Yeah, there was a house payment. Anyway, we're done. We're done for another week. I want to thank Steve Ray, Michael Oden, who came in and did an amazing job. He's not done yet. He's got miles to go before he sleeps because George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites and the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks for playing. See you in 166 hours.